I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Friday, and today it's a full house because I'm here with today's guest and former co-host, Candace Cameron Bure. This is Behind the Table. All right, it is Friday, and it is a very happy Friday because I am here with former View co-host, my friend, Candace Cameron Bure.
I thought you were going to say because TGIF.
TGIF. Oh, my God. What a missed opportunity.
I know.
I am getting old. I mean, that was... All right. You're right. Should we just start it over? No, let's just do it. TGIF, indeed. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Yay.
How about that? So this is very exciting. And having you back on the show, it's been, we thought, 7 years. Is that right? Or six years?
6 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. I know. But I feel like COVID years don't count.
And like, I remember the first time you were on after you left, it was the day that Jedediah Bila announced she was leaving. Do you remember that? And it was also Sarah's birthday. So it was like a very awkward thing. Sarah's wearing a tiara. Jed's getting tearful leaving. You're visiting for the first time. It's never a calm day at The View. But today was great. You were great on the show. You seemed a little nervous before you walked out. Were you nervous or not really? Or is that just your normal process?
Well, I think you know my normal process.
I do.
I wasn't nearly as nervous as I was when I was actually co-hosting the show. But... just a little bit. I haven't seen everyone in a long time, you know, and you just kind of never know what's going to happen. But I actually felt the most comfortable that I have felt long time. So I was happy.
Well, it was nice to have you back. Everyone was excited. So let's talk about your co-host View journey, because I was like revisiting this table you were a part of was my first season at The View. So it has a special place in my heart, kind of season 19. How did you end up on the show?
Honestly, like, it was a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize when I had been asked to step in as a guest co-host a couple times, I just thought it was a fun opportunity and I said yes, but I didn't realize that I was being looked at as a possible future co-host.
You had just finished Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yes.
So you were kind of around ABC.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
So I just thought, oh, they're inviting me. Someone can't make it that day. And I just thought it was fun. I've never done it before. Great. Why not? And did it. Enjoyed it. And that was it. And then I remember my management teams having a meeting with me and said they, you know, the people running ABC in the show want to actually sit down with you and talk to you about co-hosting The View. And I was like, what? Why me? because it really, truly wasn't on my radar. And by a crazy turn of events, I ended up taking one of the seats.
I got the job in the August before the September premiere of that season. So it was me and Hillary McLaughlin, who was my boss and hired me, and Candy Carter, who was the acting EP at the time and eventually one of the EPs. And we came in and then had this table that we were given, and then we changed the entire point of what the show was going to be because we started going into politics again after the show hadn't for a long time, which I know was not something you thought you were signing up for.
Right. They had pitched me when the show, they said, we're actually not doing politics.
Because
it wasn't
for a while.
More topical social issues, those kinds of things.
Pop culture.
And, so I was like, oh, great. This sounds really fun. And then it turned into politics.
Right. And not only did it turn into politics, but because of everything going on in the country, you ended up kind of in the fabled View conservative Elizabeth Hasselbeck seat, which has even, as many people who have been in that seat will say, is the hardest seat at The View. It just
absolutely
is. Yeah. And as somebody who didn't wake up that morning expecting to be a political pundit, that was a hard thing for you.
It was so hard. I did not grow up talking about politics. I never even discussed a lot of politics at the dinner table with just friends or even my family. So now coming on a national television show and talking politics every day was a real stretch for me.
Right.
And being in the seat, like you said, that is truly the hardest seat because you're really the only one, maybe there's another at the table that shares your view.
Right. And that's hard. And because these conversations get heated, it's just tough. It's live TV and things just get thrown out and prepping for it. I remember you've mentioned this before vividly. I would come in your
dressing
room in the morning and you were,
super stressed out and nervous. I mean, you can just say it how it is.
Okay.
No shame.
No shame. No, and there's no shame in it because you took the responsibility of it. That's what I remember most about
working
with you.
Yes, I did.
You felt like I'm here, and whether this is what I signed up for or not, there are people who are looking to me to represent this viewpoint, their feelings, whether it be conservatives or Christians or anything else.
Yes.
And you wanted to do a good job.
I did.
And I respected that.
Yeah, thank you. That's that's how I feel about everything. If you get Candace, you get all of me, and I want to give you 100% no matter what it is, whether it's being super goofy on Fuller House or we're talking politics. I'm going to give you everything I've got. So it was – I was a ball of stress every single morning. I mean – I have some memories.
It was a good training ground for me.
It was like between you and Robin and Vicky. I'm just like, help me deep breathe right now.
Now, that being said, I do think we had some fun, too.
We had a lot of fun, too.
It was good. And for me, now, people who listen to this podcast know I'm a 90s pop culture nerd for sure. Yes. I'm a pop culture nerd in general. And when I signed up for the show, so the table that you started with, it was Whoopi, of course, Michelle Collins, who was very funny, Raven Simone, another 90s pop culture icon, you, and Paula Faris, who was a journalist and newsy. And then we brought back Joy, which was a last-minute thing. Hillary McLaughlin got her to come back, which was a big deal. So then we had six people, which ended up being good because you had to keep leaving to go Full House. But for me, I was so excited about you and Raven because I grew up loving this stuff and loving pop culture. And I would say most of the time when I was trying to distract you, it was me bothering you for stories about what it was
like
on Full
House.
They were good distractions.
They were. And I had to get out of my head. So you were the levity for me, and sometimes the comic relief that I just desperately needed.
I remember one Hot Topics meeting where I accidentally called you Deej in the middle of a heated conversation, which was really embarrassing. Were you, like, everyone was getting very worked up.
Did you mean to?
No, I really
just
didn't.
Slipped out.
I really didn't.
Slipped out.
You were like, well, I don't think we should talk about that. I'm like, well, listen, Deej. And then you like literally stopped and said, did you just call me Deej? And I'm like, sorry, Donna Jo, I didn't mean to. But I was very, very excited to just go back and listen to all that. And now I have daughters who are Full House and Fuller House obsessed.
Yeah.
Absolutely obsessed.
That's so cool.
So I come home any day and I hear your name. You're in the background and your voice in the background.
So I've never left, even though I'm not here.
Yes.
I'm still haunting you every day.
Exactly. Although I have to say, I've gone back. Now, my memories of the show were pretty encyclopedic, but watching it with my daughters, there's a lot more. Like, I'm just a prude now watching it with my 10-year-old and 12-year-old. Oh, my gosh. You're, like, making out with Steve in the back of a cement mixer. I don't know what's going on. It does not what I remember.
That's the funny thing. Even when we did Fuller House and there were a good handful of comments saying, you know, hey, this is not as wholesome as Full House was. And my comment back would always be like, have you gone back and watched Full House? Because
makeout parties with Stephanie.
There
and
were
like
things now, same thing as an adult, where I'm like, I'm a little uncomfortable watching this. A 13-year-old making out. I, you know, didn't let my kids go on a date till they were 16. 13's too young.
Agreed. Agreed. Yes. So, yeah, as a protective dad now, I'm watching this. I'm like, well, just because DJ's doing that doesn't mean you could do that. But it's kind of funny. I guess it's just the way culture's changed a little bit in general. But I get a kick out of it. Do you constantly – so the people that come up to you now about Full House and Fuller House, are they young or are they people my age or what is it mostly?
It is everyone. Truly.
Really?
The age range is still from 8 years old to 80 years old because it truly – it's a generational show. So kids are finding Fuller House on Netflix and then the parents are going, but have you seen the original show? And then they show them Full House or vice versa, whatever it is. So when I have people come up to me all the time still, they love it.
That's great, right?
Kids are finding it for the first time. So there's a lot of people my age and tons of young kids.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I guess it's the streaming life, too.
It
used to be Nick at Night. Now it's streaming where you can just see it any time of day. So like I said, I used to talk to you about 90s stuff all the time. And it's interesting because you weren't so much into 90s pop culture. You were living 90s pop culture.
Right.
So I would come to you and try to get gossip about, like, you know, what was the person on this show really like? And, you know, were there
guys, every day Brian did this to me. He's like, tell me the dirt. What was Urkel like?
Right.
What happened?
Yeah.
Who else were you hanging out with on what? How were T and Tamara? Did you hang out with sister?
Mm-hmm.
Like all the questions every day.
Because in my head, it's like the TGIF shared universe. It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I wanted to know what was going on because you were like filming.
You're like, were you jealous of Sabrina?
Yes. Were you?
No.
Were you frenemies with your good friend now, Danica McKellar? You were a little bit frenemies back then, but now you're good friends.
Well, that is funny. We weren't really frenemies, but it's such a that was a funny story in that Danica had. I was like holding hands with Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains. He played like the youngest.
Yeah, so this
Ben
is Winnie Cooper and Ben Seaver. Yes.
And Winnie Cooper and Ben Seaver. But at first it was But it was before DJ. It was DJ and Ben Siever.
Right.
And then I remember he called me at night one time, and I was probably like 12. I mean, we weren't doing anything. We just called ourselves boyfriend, girlfriend.
Sure.
But we like held hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, we need to break up. And I was like, okay. And I was so sad. And so he broke up with me on the phone. And then at the next like event, or maybe it was on the set of Growing Pains, there's Winnie Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with Ben Siever.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, this is my boyfriend. And I was like, oh, he dumped me for her. Okay,
DJ got dumped for Winnie Cooper.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know what? I love Danica. She was so beautiful. I kind of like couldn't, I didn't blame him.
Well, so
I'm like, who doesn't want Winnie Cooper?
I always, she was one of my childhood crushes too, of course. I'm not
yes,
going to lie.
Yes.
And I used to, you know, tease you in Hot Topics sometimes. I'd be like, well, listen, if, you know, if you don't want to talk about this, maybe I'll call Danica up and maybe we'll get Winnie Cooper in here. Maybe she'll want to do some
Brian
Hot Topics.
Brian did this all the time too.
Yes.
Like any other teen 90 star.
Yes. Melissa Joan Hart waiting for the call.
Yep. Always. Just right. Just baiting me.
Yes.
Every time.
I could call yeah. Jenny Garth anytime I want
and
to.
And he
let
knows
me tell
how
you.
Competitive yeah. I am.
I know. I loved it.
So
plus,
hilarious.
I just love talking about it. And then I would also pick your brain, and sometimes I'd get secrets from you occasionally.
A few.
I've been very good about
I'm
those secrets.
I'm proud of you,
We're
Brian,
10 years
but we
in.
Wouldn't be friends anymore if you shared them.
I know, because I'd want to know, like, you know, were there ever any, like, you know, inter-cast hookups or anything like that. And I would, and I never give anything up, and I got some good dirt.
You got some good stuff.
Uh-huh. Anything you want to talk about now or no? I wouldn't put you in a bad position, but I'm just going to ask.
No, you wouldn't.
No,
well,
no.
I think that Brian was very surprised to know what a great friend Jaleel White was.
Mm-hmm.
And that I may have gone out on a date with Darius McCrary.
Darius McCrary, Eddie Winslow from Family Matters. Finally, I get to talk about this. This is very exciting. DJ Tanner
yes,
dated Eddie Winslow.
We did. We went. He picked me up and we got
in
sushi.
His Jeep.
Yeah. Yep. We had sushi and we went on a date.
All right.
There you go.
There you go.
You have it.
I got it.
I got said the, it.
I got
it is free
it
now.
It is out. Finally. Finally. Anytime we ran out of topics during the show, I'd say we could talk about you and Eddie Winslow, but it never happened. All right. Love this. All right. I'll move on now, but that's very exciting. And at some point—
I'm thinking about when you texted me once the little trading card of Eddie Winslow.
Yes, I did.
I believe it was quite hilarious.
Family Matters trading cards.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was a birthday I sent it to you. Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times. And stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
All right. Well, speaking of your birthday, let's talk about favorite moments on The View, because we had some really fun ones, too.
We really did. My 40th birthday was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You guys, outdid yourselves.
We do birthdays pretty well, especially a milestone.
You really do.
And Jamie Hammer, our producer, was the godmother of that. But we started the show. You did a Dancing with the Stars reunion, right?
Yep. Val and Max Schmurkowski came on. We did a little dance. I just saw them last week,
by the way.
And I kind of reminded them. And,
You did like a whole This Is 40 thing. And it was great. It was glamorous.
It was so much fun. And then you guys surprised me with these amazing people on video, other celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sally Field left me a message.
She did.
My goodness. And then you also surprised me with For King and Country.
Right, which ended up having real dividends here. This is great.
Huge dividends. So they've always been one of my favorite bands. I love them. And huge surprise, they came out and performed. And then in the middle of it, my daughter Natasha walks out and is singing with them.
Natasha is Candace's 17-year-old daughter. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. You guys are amazing. Candace, you're a mama hen. You always know what's going on. How come you didn't know that this was going to happen? How did you guys keep this a secret from her?
Well, we are good secret keepers.
It was one
incredible.
Of the proudest moments of my life.
Right. And she's been so accomplished at singing and other things since then. She's great. And I loved hanging her. She hung around more than the other kids, I think, around The View.
Yeah.
And it was really fun having her here. That was great. And then other great moments that I remember, because it's interesting. You talked about the documentary. You talked about documenting you learning to sing on the show today, on the podcast. And that brought back some memories for me, because for starters, you got to sing with Vanilla Ice.
All right, stop, collaborate and listen. Ice Jack with my brand new invention. Something, grab a hold of me tightly. Hold like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Which
I did,
amazing.
Because I can't sing and we all had to perform something. I'm like, guys, I can't sing. So can you rap? I'm like, well, I guess I can rap.
Right. So you and Vanilla came out again, my 90s
Ice
culture
baby.
World.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite pictures is me, you, and Vanilla Ice that I have. And you did great. That was pretty exciting.
You.
And then I remember another time we went to Raven Simone's 30th birthday party early on. And there was a karaoke night. And you were almost about to sing. You and I were going to do Summer Nights, which I was very excited about.
That's right.
And you bailed at the very last minute.
Because I'm terrible. And there were a lot of good singers.
Raven.
Raven's a great singer.
She is so talented.
But you did, what was your go-to song?
I did
song?
Naughty by Nature.
Yes.
And and it's haunted me ever since. That video exists. But that was terrific. So I'm excited for you, because I know you've always wanted to be able to sing.
I have. I really have. And the singing lessons are quite enjoyable. I'm a very slow learner. Because it's just like anything, though. I have to put it in terms of working out, because
It's a muscle.
So I'm like, if I'm only practicing once a week, you're not going to get that great. Just like if I only hit the gym once a week. It's the consistency. But she's taught me lots of things, and I'm, very slowly improving.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. That's really fun. And, I mean, Natasha must get it from somewhere. I mean, where does she get her voice from?
Well, I think God just gave her a beautiful voice.
Can Val sing?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Oh, wow. That's
I sing better than Val.
My daughters are both aspiring musical theater people and taking singing lessons.
Of course
lessons
they
and doing
are.
All that. Yes. My wife's a Broadway nut. I enjoy it. And and they are taking singing lessons too.
Fantastic.
And they're really developing beautiful voices. It's great to see. It's
I'm so
to be
glad
very
to
proud
hear
of.
That. I wish that I had taken lessons when I was young.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as an actress especially, it's got to be a golf club in your bag kind of.
Exactly. But it's never too late. So here I am at 48 taking singing lessons.
All right. Well, speaking of, again, going back to acting, you talked about the Quiet on the Set conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
That was not your experience, but of course, it was for so many people. Given that, did you have any reservations about Natasha getting into acting or anybody else in the family?
I didn't, because I feel like I mean, I know how to navigate the industry pretty well.
And you're in a position to protect people.
Exactly. A position of protection. And just in the same way that my parents did, I probably would do even twice as much with my own kids, knowing what can be out there. But yeah, that was a very tough documentary to watch.
Yeah. No, I've been watching it too. And I'm, of course, just heartbroken for what these kids went through.
Yeah.
It's just really scary.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you hear these stories. I mean, it's interesting when we talked about that table that you started with. I remember we did an interview early on where, like, I think the reporter asked all of you which host you find the most in common with, which do you identify with the most, and you said Raven.
Raven,
and
absolutely.
Of course, ideologically, you guys are completely different people.
Yep,
but we
related so well on our upbringing, our childhood, working in the entertainment industry. There's just certain things that only if you've done it do you know it and can feel it. And so I for sure had the most in common with Raven from that standpoint. And it was like very easy conversation with her.
Right. Because if you have the same
experience. Exactly. And very similar and same experiences that, only a select few people understand it and get it.
And also I imagine the difference of going from people that are reading scripts to going on a show where you're yourself giving your opinion is probably also something both of you experienced for the first time here.
Yeah.
In a
yeah, exactly. Yeah, very different playing someone versus being yourself.
Right.
So we had that to go back and forth with. Yeah, we were pretty much in the same boat when we did the show together.
Yeah, even though you were so different people, that's an interesting it's an interesting thing.
Yeah. I was glad that she was at the table.
Me too. And she's one of the people I've stayed closest with too. I love her.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's really good. She tells me good stuff, too.
I really like her, too.
Yeah. All right. So while you were on the show, you ended up leaving to do Fuller House often. So you would come and go, which I know was tough. And then you ended up actually leaving after the traumatic events of election night 2016.
Yes.
The live election special, which lives on in infamy for all who have seen it. I'm kind of tempted to do it again this year. But tell me your memories of that. Because after that was like a
That was a big night. It was a crazy night. And I remember how happy everyone was that started. The night started out like great. Everyone was in a good mood.
Yeah. We had like a bartender. We had like it was like a very like Bravo kind of feel to it. It was like a bartender with like cocktails.
Yeah.
It was New Year's Eve.
Everyone was loosey
goosey. It was kind of that kind of feeling.
I was kind of, I don't know. I was preparing. I didn't know what to prepare myself for, but kind of
the
worst.
But the expectation was that Hillary was going to win, I think, that night for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's at least in the room and at the table. There was a total expectation that Hillary was going to win. And then when the numbers started shifting and changing, I can so vividly remember the fear on Joy's face and the tears that were happening.
Mixed with the cocktails.
The devastation was she was just beside herself. You guys even had like a comic or
we had an impersonator.
An impersonator.
Because we had to fill 2 hours of time. So we had celebrities coming on. We had a comic coming on. We had Mario Cantone doing a thing. We had this bit with Raven moving to Canada. We had all of this.
Yeah. And I feel like I don't even know if the impersonator, did they even end up coming on?
Yeah. He came on and was like sad.
But it was just ended up being this depressing night for a lot of people that were in the room. So to see the shift and the swing was quite dramatic. And, you know, I wasn't voting for Hillary. So I was on the other end of it going, okay, I don't really know how to. I want to be sensitive to everyone's feelings because that's how I am. It wasn't about gloating or anything like that, but it was so bizarre. And then I remember like the biggest takeaway was going after
we went to a bar
because everyone was like, I need a drink.
I remember. It was a big night. A big emotional night for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much the end of you on The View.
That because I did not want to be the punching bag for the Trump years. I just didn't.
No.
And I'm like, I'm not comfortable enough in the political space.
You kind of disappeared for a while after that.
And, oh, yeah.
It's a little bittersweet for me today because I'm announcing that I will be leaving The View. Oh, thank you.
Brian, it was hard.
It was really hard.
And then once he became president, I was like, I don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the mental capacity to be a punching bag every day. And there's a lot of things that I thought he did really well and agreed with, but there were a lot of things I didn't
right.
either.
And you so didn't I'm want like, to be the face of the, everything that he
exactly.
did.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so I was like,
that.
I just don't want this for my life. This
it wasn't
is not,
what you signed up for.
No, no. And I just thought like, I want to go, I don't know, tell funny jokes on Fuller House.
So. Right, exactly. And in retrospect, while I was very sad to see you go, it was the right move for you.
Yeah,
there was no question.
Was.
And the show was shifting even more. And in the next 4 years, it became almost an entirely political show
yes,
at that point.
Exactly.
So it was the right thing. And then you're still part of the View family. You come back, you visit,
yeah,
you promote a movie, you get
exactly.
to be on the podcast.
It's
Everything's
great.
Good. Yeah,
this
it's great.
This is a happy place for me to be.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad to have you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. But
okay.
Thank you so much for joining me, Candace. Her movie, Unsung Hero, is in theaters on April 26th. And you can find the Candace Cameron Bure podcast wherever you get your podcasts. On Monday, I'll be back for another special episode. This time, George Lopez and his daughter, Mayan Lopez, and Anna Navarro will join me on the podcast. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Behind the Table is executive produced by Brian Tetta. Supervising producers are Nathan Getty and Summer Shake, with production assistant Emily Darcy. The vice president of ABC Audio is Liz Alessi, and the executive producer of podcast programming is Laura Mayer. Special thanks to Lori Hogan, Susie Liu, Meg Fierro, Molly Kaiser, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Frankie Perez, Audrey Mostek, and Dana Schaefer.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.